Good morning. Happy New Year's Day. Woo! We did it. We made it through 2022. Happy New Year's Day. If you're watching online, we're excited that you're with us. Those of you in the room, awesome, you're here. I got to ask, how many of you stayed up till midnight last night? Any takers on that? There's a few of you. I'm surprised. Wow, you guys are going to power through this morning. Good for you. That's fantastic. I'm Mario Fernandez. I'm one of the pastors here. I have the privilege this morning of bringing the Word of God to you on the first day of a new year. I'll tell you what, I'm excited about that. I love preaching at that close of the year, beginning of the year, and this weekend I got to do both. I was preaching last night, the last day of the year, and now I'm preaching again the first day of the year. Whew, it's going to be good stuff. All right. Yeah. Hey, we're going to receive our offering in just a moment, and so let me have our ushers come forward. But before we do that, I just want to take the opportunity to thank you for your generosity to the Lord as you give to the Lord through our church, and just want to remind you that your giving allows us as a church to make a difference in so many people's lives. And if you were here for Christmas Eve services, one of the services, you saw some of that transformation work take place in the dozens and dozens of people who responded to the message of Christ and either committed themselves to Christ for the first time or recommitted themselves. And that's really exciting. And part of that is a result of your generosity as you give to the Lord. Let's take the opportunity to pray for our offering this morning, also for our hearts as we prepare ourselves for the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to receive this offering. And Lord, just to start the year off with generosity and, Lord, faithfulness of giving of our tithes and offerings today. Lord, bless those as they give, Lord, whether they're doing that physically through the offering this morning here or have done it electronically or will do that electronically, Lord. We thank you so much for all of that. And Lord, we prepare our hearts for your word this morning, the word of God, which is like a mighty sword that is able to, you know, separate bone and marrow and just work in our hearts. And we just say, Lord, do your surgery on us. Accomplish what you want to do in us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, we're starting the first day of the year, right? How many of you need a warm fuzzy to start the year off? How many of you want to get that warm fuzzy this morning? All right, there's a few of you. Well, I got one for you. And for those of you who didn't raise your hand, I got one for you too. And here it is right here. Let's get this. Woo! All right, hey, look at that little boy. That happens to be my grandson, Jeremiah Gragnano. That was 2 months ago. He's 5 months old there. Such a little sweetie guy. And you know, when he was born shortly afterwards, the doctors gave his parents instructions that he needed to stretch. And so they would stretch his limbs and get him used to being, you know, out of the womb and just living life. And hey, you know what? I'm talking about stretching today in my message. So that was no kind of throwaway picture that some grandpa wanted to get out to the public. That had purpose in it. Hey, are you up to doing something that maybe you've never done before in church? Some of you. Okay, come on, work with me, people. This is a safe place. Okay, here's what I need you to do. I need you to stand up if you can. If you're able to, please stand where you're at. All right. Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take one of your hands and reach it up, kind of like you're reaching up. Do it comfortably, not the word hurts, but a good stretch there, okay? And now pretend there's a $10 bill, just an inch or two past that. Can you reach that $10? Oh, no, look, right behind that is a $1,000 bill. Can you grab that $1,000? Stretch it out, yeah? Okay, do you feel the stretch there? Do you feel it? All right, you can lower your hand. All right, thank you. You're welcome. You may be seated. All right. You know, probably as you were doing that, some of you, you may have felt the stretch maybe in your shoulder, perhaps in your neck, maybe in your back, or as Forrest Gump would say, you felt it maybe in your buttocks. So, I don't know. You know, experts on the human body tell us that stretching is good for us. It benefits us. It helps us in so many ways. And I want to share with you a few ways in which it does benefit us. I'm going to give you 5 reasons to stretch. It may reduce your risk of injury. It helps you stay limber and loose. It improves your posture. And who doesn't need that, right? We kind of tend to slouch a little, at least I do. That can help. It helps reduce and manage stress. Wow, that's a good one right there, because there's a lot of stress in the world. It promotes circulation. And lastly, it decreases the risk of lower back pain. You know, recently, just a few weeks ago, I was suffering from some lower back pain, could barely walk, and I'm convinced now I need to do more stretching in my life. This morning, as we start our first day of a new year, I want to present to you the idea that in 2023, God wants to stretch you. That's right, for each individual here in the room or whether you're online, God wants to stretch you at some point and maybe several points in 2023. You know, as we look at this going into these next 365 days, I believe God is going to call us to stretch. Maybe it's going to be possibly spiritually. Maybe it's going to be stretched emotionally. Maybe it's going to be revolving and involving our character or some other way. But I'm convinced of this because as I have walked with the Lord for 45 years, I have noticed that each of those years at some point and maybe several times, God calls me to follow him in such a way that is stretching to me. I'm also convinced of this because for us as a church family, starting next week, we are going to move into a church-wide campaign, and I believe through that campaign, we're going to be called to stretch as well. You see, during that campaign that starts next weekend, we're going to have 7 weekends where Pastor Brian is going to bring a message regarding the Word of God and the importance of it in our life. And if that wasn't enough, also that week begins our 7 consecutive weeks of small groups, of campaign small groups. And during those campaigns, small groups, we are going to learn some tools about how to study the Word of God. And I know that many of you in the room today, though you may be readers of the Word, you may not have any really set tools on how to study the Word of God. And by going and being a part of a campaign group, you're going to get some tools to help you to know how to approach the Word of God, to have a better understanding of it so you can apply it in your life. But wait, there's more. Also, you're going to get a workbook at your small group, and in it is going to have 40 devotionals. So we as a collective church are going to be working daily through these devotionals together regarding the Word of God. And so it's going to be an intense, focused 40-day period for us. But hear me. I think as awesome as that time is going to be in that 40 days, I think the true benefit, the true blessing is not just going to happen then. It's going to happen what's going to come about because of the tools we're learning so that we can ourselves be in God's Word and we can understand it, that we can be, as Book of Acts talks about, like the Berean Christians who are searching the Scriptures day and night to see if these things are true. And so I encourage you, be stretched. Check out a group. For some of you, that may even mean leading a group, hosting that group. And I would not resist the Lord. Just lean into what he may be saying regarding that stretch. Now, since we're talking about the Bible, I want to drop a little Bible trivia on you. Did you know that there are nearly 1,200 chapters in the Bible? It's true. 929 chapters in the Old Testament, 260 in the New Testament. And in these nearly 1,200 chapters, there are people, everyday Joes, just like you and me, in the Scripture that God stretches. Let me give you a few examples of someone who have been stretched in the Bible. There's Moses. He was stretched in the desert when he saw this burning bush that was not consumed. And then he went back to Egypt under the anointing of the Lord and delivered the nation Israel from slavery to Egypt. There was Queen Esther. She got her stretch on when in boldness she went to her king, King Ahasuerus, and went before him without an invitation in order to plead for her people, the Jews. There's the prophet Isaiah, who humbly stretched when he saw God, the thrice holy God, sitting on his throne, and God calls out and says, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, Lord, stretch me." Well, he didn't actually say that exactly like that. He said, "Here am I, send me," but it's the same thing. But the greatest stretch to ever happen took place through the life of Jesus as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was facing the cross. He knew what was coming. He knew that he was going to bear the sins of the world. And in that moment, he cries out to his Father, "Not my will, but your will be done." And his stretching of his will was played out or lived out when he physically stretched out his arms on the cross and hung there for all of mankind. Yeah, you know, that would have been a good place for an amen, but, you know, who am I to know? Here's a reality. In 365 days, the year 2023 is going to come to an end. Just like 2022 did, right? Remember, I mean, I'm sure probably everyone in this room at some point as the year is going by and maybe towards the closing of the year, we're like, wow, where'd the year go? It went by so fast. Well, this coming year, the year that we just dipped our toe into right now, 2023, is going to go like that. And the question is, what will we be like by the end of that year? What are we going to be like? You know, are we going to be like this right here, this picture? Do you know what that is? Science tells us this is potentially one of the oldest pieces of gum known to mankind. Several thousand years old. Now, I'm sure when this gum started out, it was probably chewable, pliable. I don't know, maybe even you could blow some bubbles with it, right? But not anymore. That thing is brittle. That thing is stiff. It's unstretchable. Hopefully that won't be us through this year. Hopefully this year we're going to be like this instead. Yeah. Do you know who this is? Anyone? Yeah, Stretch Armstrong. That is Stretch Armstrong. And you know what Stretch Armstrong does really good? This is what he can do. He stretches. He stretches. Hopefully by the end of this year, we're going to be very stretchable. We're going to just go with what the Lord is asking of us. I would like us to look at a portion of Scripture regarding the Apostle Peter, and he is faced with a very, very important stretch. This is probably one of his greatest stretching moments. In fact, without his willingness to stretch in this passage of Scripture, many, if not most of us in this room who are non-Jews, or another way of saying it, who are Gentiles, we would probably not be following Jesus Christ because the invitation may not be extended to us. And so open your Bibles, if you can, if you have it with you, to Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at a great historic portion of Scripture that rocks the church world. And let's take a closer look at Peter's "Lord, stretch me" moment. As we work our way through the text, I want us to identify and draw out four key points that we need to know so when the Lord is asking us to stretch, we can do so and please our Heavenly Father. But first, let me set the scene. So there is a Roman officer named Cornelius. He lives in Caesarea. And he's a God-fearing man. He's a generous man. He's a man of prayer. And the Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 10 that on one afternoon as he is praying, an angel comes into his room in his presence there and visits him. And the angel gives some instruction to Cornelius. He tells him to send three men to the city of Joppa and to bring back the apostle Peter. And so I want us to pick it up in Acts 10, beginning in verse 9. About noon the following day, as they, that is the three men sent by Cornelius, were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Now let me stop there for a moment. I want to make a point or two here, and I want to give you some backstory to this upcoming call to stretch. So there was Cornelius. He has this angelic vision, and then he's instructed to send these three men like 34 miles south to Joppa. And in so doing so, these three men have been charged by their commander to go, and they're going to get this Jewish individual. And, you know, there's some angst between the Romans and the Jews, and so I'm sure they're kind of wondering kind of what all this is about and how it's going to go down. And then also then there's Peter, right? He's on the rooftop, and he's chilling there on the roof when he starts to get the hangries. You know, what I'm trying to say here is that life just happens, and then the call to stretch is there. You know, you may just be living life. You may be unaware of your particular circumstances, at least the meaning of those circumstances. And the thing that you're going through right now, it may seem like, well, this is just, you know, the beginning of the year. You know, I've had a couple days off from work or whatever, or I've had some interaction with some relatives. Some things went down during that time or whatever. And you're just like, ah, that's just how life happens. Well, hold on. You may be in the process of a call to stretch coming your way. You see, the first key point that I want to make here is that our Lord stretch me moment can come at any time. It can happen at any time in our life, oftentimes when we may not be ready or expect it. And so we do. We need to be ready and we need to be alert. We need to be people who are tuned in to what is going on. Listen to the way the Apostle Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Otherwise, be alert. If I was going to put this in Marvel comic talk, I would say something like this. We need to keep our spidey senses alert. Are you familiar with spidey senses? Man, that's just like you're reading the room, you're aware of what's going on, you're getting some tingling, some things are going to go down. You're ready. Let's pick it up again in verse 13. It says, then the voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. Verse 15, the voice spoke to him a second time. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit, by the way. And he says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Now, honestly, probably if this vision happened with us, we would kind of like go like, wow, that was weird. I got to stop eating so much figgy pudding at night. And then we'd go on. However, for Peter, this was a very important, significant event. You see, in the Old Testament, God had declared that there were certain animals that were called unclean. They were not available to the Jews to eat. And some of these unclean animals are in this vision that Peter is seeing and God is telling him to eat. So Peter, like a good Jew, refused to eat them, and he tells God, no way, Jose. Now let me give you just a freebie here, free nugget. And that is, whenever you're in a place and God is asking something of you, and you're telling God, I don't think so, God. No, I don't want to do that. It may not go so well for you. Just lean into what he's asking of you and go with the yes. Now, for Peter, he may be thinking about the prophet Ezekiel at this point. See, Ezekiel was a major prophet of the Old Testament. And like many of the prophets, he verbally spoke and gave direction to them, told them of certain warnings and certain life changes that needed to happen. But what's unique about the prophet Ezekiel is he not only speaks it out, but oftentimes he illustrates it through his own lifestyle of things he's doing in life to speak of God's word. And this is one case in Ezekiel chapter 4 that I want to bring a passage to you. God has given him some unique instructions, and one of them is for him to lay on his side for 390 days, okay? Because God's showing him that the nation Israel has been in sin for 390 days, and so Ezekiel's going to lay on his side for this length of period. If you do your math, that's a little over a year, right? That's like a year and a month, pretty much. And listen, I want to pick it up in verse 9. And God's giving Ezekiel these instructions. Take wheat and barley to make bread for yourself. You are to eat it during the 390 days you lie on your side. Weigh out 20 shekels of food to eat each day and eat it at a set time. Also measure out a sixth of a hin of water and drink it at set times. Eat the food as you would a loaf of barley bread. Bake it in the sight of the people using human excrement for fuel. The Lord said, in this way the people of Israel will eat defiled food among the nations where I will drive them. Verse 14, then Peter says, not so, sovereign Lord. I have never defiled myself. From my youth until now, I have never eaten anything found dead or torn by wild animals. No impure meat has ever entered my mouth. Like Ezekiel here telling God, no. Peter may be thinking of this kind of situation, and this invitation to eat these unclean animals is such a change for Peter. It's outside his normal paradigm of thinking. It's contrary to his ways that he grew up. It's foreign to his daily diet. But God repeats this vision and this saying to Peter three times. He says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. God is on a loop on this one here with Peter. And so the second Lord stretch me point that I want us to understand is that God is so committed to your and my stretch that he will bring up the invitation to stretch again and again and again. That's what here he is doing with Peter. Let me ask you for a moment to take a little internal inventory. Is there something going on in your life? Is there some kind of activity that is coming back round and round? Could the voice of God be in that situation? Or maybe someone has given you some counsel and you've heard it from several people and you've kind of been resistant to it, and maybe you need to re-examine that. Is that God? Is the Lord speaking through this? And does he want you to be more like Stretch Armstrong than a brittle piece of gum? You know, let me suggest an area if you can't think of anything. I mentioned that we, starting next week, are starting our church-wide campaign. If you've been part of Vineyard North Phoenix for any length of time, you have heard us time and time again encourage you about the importance of being in a small group. And perhaps let me suggest that God is challenging you, that you have heard that invitation over months, maybe over years, and maybe for some of you even decades, and you have resisted it for one reason or another. You have said, no, that's for others, that's not for me. I'm too busy, I got this activity going on, I got this thing going on. Can I suggest to you that maybe rather than keep fighting on that, that just possibly God is in this and he's asking you, and rather than resist him, that you would lean into it? That maybe you would say, as Jesus did, "Lord, not my will be done, but yours," and visit a small group. I think it will be beneficial to you. Let's go back to the story, Acts 10, verse 19. It says, "While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them.'" Verse 23. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guest. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. I love the way this is all coming together here in this story. God is doing his thing in Peter's life, right on top of the roof. And God is doing something in Cornelius' life about 34 miles away. He's doing something within these 3 men who have come to get Peter and now bringing him to Cornelius' place. You see, God is a multitasker. God is able to work in all of our lives simultaneously in different ways. And that's what's interesting. Sometimes that person's stretch is not that person's stretch. God calls us to do different things. I want you to turn to someone next to you and say, "God is working in your life." Do that. Turn to someone and help remind them. Okay. Now I want to turn to that same person and say, "God is working in my life too." All right, we've all been informed. We all know. God is not weighed down by any one person. You know, you remember in the Peanuts comic strip, there's that girl who has all that dust behind her? No, the girl with the dust behind her. Pigpen, I think, is the name. Not a very healthy, you know, moniker to have. But, you know, there's no one in here who, I'm trying to say, has so much dust in their life, so much stuff going on that God is just focused solely on them, and it's like, "The rest of you I can't handle. Let me get this person straight and then I'll come over to you guys." No, God's able to take care of us all. And that's what he's doing here with all these people here. And then in verse 28, Peter is before the room of people and he said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" I can only imagine that as Peter was walking back from Joppa to Caesarea, and in that process of maybe almost each step wondering, "God, is this really you? Are you asking me to go and do this? And I'm going to go to the Gentiles? Is this you?" Well, here lies the third point, or the third "Lord, stretch me" moment. And that is, God is not a restrictor of what you or I hold sacred and untouchable. He will stretch you as he is doing to Peter at this moment in any and every way possible. Nothing is forbidden from him. Now, we may think we can. We may think, "God, you can work in just about every way of my life, but over here, that's my little playground. That's my little thing. I'm not interested in inviting you into that." You might remember as kids in children's ministry, you heard the phrase about gentle Jesus. Gentle Jesus, he's so kind, he's mild, meek. And that's a good thing to teach young children to understand the kindness of Jesus, the goodness of Jesus. But can I say, we're for the most part in a room of adults here. Can I speak to you man to man, adult to adult? And let me tell you, sometimes Jesus is not gentle Jesus. It's true. It's true. Sometimes Jesus will come strongly into our life and will ask and tell us of what we need to do. You see, God is in the stretching business. And he stretches those whom he loves. I know that's not easy to hear, but that again would have been a good place for an amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed," or let me say, as we are stretched into his glorious image. God is in the stretching business. Look at verse 34. "Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." Listen, you need a short summary of the life of Jesus here on planet Earth? There it is. Boom. Verse 38. There are 34 words that concisely tell us the activity of Jesus here. Verse 39, Peter goes on. He says, "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen." Verse 34, "All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes and receives forgiveness of sin through his name." You go, Peter. You preach it, brother. You see, do you know really what Peter's doing here? He's giving them both barrels of his spiritual gospel shotgun. Peter has given them testimony of the confirming miracles of Jesus, of his sacrificial death, of his prophesied resurrection, and of the open invitation of salvation to anyone who would call and put their trust on him. Let me tell you, if you read the New Testament, you recognize Peter doesn't always get it right. But on this day, he did. He got it right. And this brings us to our fourth and final Lord stretch me point. And that is, a stretched us is a far better us. Peter's willingness to be stretched by the Lord allowed him to have a better understanding of his God, of the gospel, and of God's incredible grace to other people. When we lean into the stretch, we become a better person. I want to share something with you that happened in my life almost 10 years ago. I had the opportunity to go on a sabbatical. A sabbatical is an extended period of time away from work. It's a time to be refreshed, reinvigorated. And one of the weeks that I was away from work, I felt that God had been speaking to me about this and putting out an invitation to me to follow him in this, and that was to carry a big cross through the city of Phoenix. And so I invited my wife and I invited four other people to join me, each person joining me on a different day of that week, a consecutive 6 weeks. And so me and someone else and our big cross, we would go through the city of Phoenix. We started in Glendale, we went to Moon Valley, went to Central Phoenix, we went to Scottsdale, came back into Glendale and to Peoria. Man, it was something. There is, you can't know it till you live it. When you carry a big cross that has a wheel on the back of it and you're moving, just walking, and you have nothing else to do but just walk and talk to people, It's an amazing thing. I found that there are people in our city all over. Everyone has a story to tell. And most will tell you part of their story if you'll give them time to listen. We literally talked and prayed with hundreds of people. People who were super excited, people who were not as excited about it. And when I gave myself to that stretch, and when I said yes to it, I didn't know exactly all that I was getting into. But by the time it was over, and I had been on the streets for almost a week, I understood my God a lot better. I understood his heart and love for people a lot more. I was a changed individual. You see, when we lean into God and his stretch in our life, we become a better person. I want to make a few quick and final comments as we wrap this up. When you're in your stretch, and you will, again, let me remind you, be stretched, the call will come. You may feel vulnerable and weak. I don't remind you, it's okay. I'm sure Jesus felt vulnerable and at risk when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. I'm sure Peter felt that way as he was walking with the three Gentile men to Cornelius' house. And the second thing I want to remind you of as we move into 2023 is it's going to take courage for you to say, Lord, stretch me in 2023. It's going to take courage on your part. Let me invite you to say that out loud, that prayer. Lord, stretch me in 2023. Will you say that with me right now? Lord, stretch me in 2023. I hope that becomes a prayer for you through this year. I hope that becomes an attitude that you embrace, that you take with you, so that as the Lord would invite you at some point during this year, to stretch, to come out of your comfort zone, to follow him, that prayer will already be in your heart. I want to give you something this morning. It's not a $10 or a $1,000, but it's a little card like this. It's the size of a business card, and on it it says, Lord, stretch me. On the back side, it says that in Spanish as well. And we have these in our three tunnels as you leave this morning in the auditorium and going out to the lobby. And I encourage you to pick up one of these cards. Pick it up and just hold on to it. Maybe put it in your wallet or your purse or tape it to your bathroom mirror or on your refrigerator so that you can see it from time to time to remind you, to encourage you to pray that and have that in your heart. Lord, stretch me. I want to pray for you right now. Let me invite you to stand if you would. And also, if I can have our ministry team come forward, please. I want to pray for you and just want to encourage you that maybe the Lord has been speaking to you about something in your life that he's currently stretching you on. Maybe somehow the Lord has kind of put some flame in your life about something that you might need someone else to pray with. We're going to have some men and women as our ministry team comes forward who will be glad to pray with you. Or maybe you need prayer for something else. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a relational situation, something at work. I don't know what it might be. Maybe it's physical healing. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you, don't leave this morning without receiving prayer from a brother and sister. So in a moment, I will release us and I'll allow you to come forward if you'd like to receive prayer. I want to pray for you right now. If you like, would you just open up your hands, stretch them out before you, maybe palms up to the Lord, just kind of signifying an openness to God right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a new year, 2023. Lord, may we lean into this year with an openness to you, to follow you wherever that may be, whatever you may be asking of us, that we would say, yes, Lord, stretch me. Yes, I will follow you. Lord, give us the grace. Lord, give us the courage that we will need in that time. And Lord, we thank you that you are working for our betterment. There's no stretch you ask of us that is not for a better us. And Lord, we thank you for this day, one of 365 that we're going to experience. May our eyes be on you, and may you be glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're watching online, I invite you, if you'd like to receive prayer, just click on the prayer button. We'd love to pray with you. The rest of you, God bless you. Have a fantastic New Year's Day. If you like prayer, come on down.